Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected talk, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Welcome to the Savage Nation. Don't know much about biology, don't know much about history, but they sure know much about transformative politics, don't they? So I wake up this morning after the dermatologist had her fun with my face. I look like Scarface, and I'm fighting, 30 years now trying to beat the cancer. You know how that works. It's the basal cell carcinoma that those of you who live outdoors, boaters, golfers, bikers, you all get it. But there's been a 30-year process of keeping the Undertaker at bay. And every time I go, and it's the same thing with that freezing stuff. I did something interesting, though, yesterday. She said, okay, get ready. I said, okay, give me a 10-second countdown. I did something I never did. She almost called the police. I started to sing in the loudest baritone I could, resonating the entire dermatological office. And I didn't feel any pain. Isn't that amazing? And then, of course, I went immediately to a certain bar that I go to and had three drinks in a row, which really helped the post-surgical recovery. Three icy vodkas sitting on a table in North Beach watching the world go by doesn't hurt. So I wake up this morning with a hangover, of course, which I cured immediately with magnesium and some other nutrients I should tell you about. Magnesium. You know, one of the reasons I'm going to get to Obama saying it's time for mandatory voting. I wake up and I see that he's asking for mandatory voting, like he discovered it. Now, if I'm not mistaken, North Korea has mandatory voting, doesn't it? But what makes things even more cynical for me is the same day that the dictator-in-chief is giving a little speech on mandatory voting and how wonderful it would be, NPR, which is an arm of the Democrat machine, the Democrat socialist machine, the same PBS that hates Israel, hates America, hates mother, hates father, hates family, hates church, the same public broadcasting system owned by Obama, lock, stock, and two barrels, just happens to put out an article on mandatory voting and showing us 22 countries where voting is mandatory. The same day that the emerging dictator tells us about it, all of a sudden we read it on the PBS website. Now, it's interesting that they list all the countries where mandatory voting is required, and they leave out North Korea. They don't want you to see that. That's an inconvenient truth. So Obama wants mandatory voting. At least that's his dream. Because it's the poor, you see. The poor, the immigrants, the minorities who don't vote as often as those of us who work for a living. And, of course, the only way to get 1,000 years of darkness in America is to make sure that those exact groups continue to vote more so than do the biggest contributors to the tax pot, so to speak. So we have the soundbite of Obama giving out this little nonsense about mandatory voting, which is utterly unbelievable to me for two reasons. One, here is a man who does everything he can to make certain that there's no registration for voting, no voter ID. So how are we going to have mandatory voting if there's no voter ID, Mr. Obama? That's question one. Can anyone answer that? How can you have mandatory voting without voter ID? So either you're for or against voter ID. So let's start with voter ID, Mr. Obama, and then we'll go on to discussing your mandatory voting idea. That's number one. But number two, there's another number two. You want to hear the number two? I thought he was for pro-choice when he wants to be. Now, wouldn't it be a choice as to whether you vote or not? I thought Obama was into choice. The guy's a liar and a sicko. He's a demented fool. Unfortunately, he's the most powerful man on earth, and he's very dangerous. And he is demonic and relentless in his desire to destroy freedom in this country. It's the opposite of freedom to require mandatory voting. The opposite of it. So listen to the president of the United States of America now trying to transform us into North Korea in clip one.
In Australia and some other countries, there's mandatory voting. It would be transformative if everybody voted. That would counteract money more than anything.
You liar, you.
If everybody voted, then it would completely change the political map in this country.
he's against money? The man is on the road day and night collecting money from billionaires. Who the heck does this guy think he's fooling? What idiot out there believes this guy doesn't collect zillions of dollars from every special interest group in the world? Now listen to why he really wants mandatory voting. It's to make certain that the illegal aliens control America and bring us down to the level of, let us say, Tijuana. Listen to number two.
The people who tend not to vote are young, they're lower income, they're skewed more heavily towards immigrant groups and minority groups, and you know, they're often the folks who are, they're scratching and climbing to get into the middle class, and they're
working hard. Why don't you speak English and stop the folksy climbing stuff?
Some folks,
you're an educated man.
The polls. We should want to get them into the polls.
Oh, really?
So that may end up being a better strategy in the short term.
Strategy for what? To destroy America? This is an anti-white strategy in plain English. Write it down. Write it down and send it on to anyone you want. This guy has a vendetta against the white middle class like I have never seen. Like I have never seen. I've never seen a man more demonic in his desire to undermine the majority in this country. The hardworking, the taxpaying, he hates you. He hates you. Chavez was benign compared to what this man would do if he had absolute power. So he floats making voting mandatory, calling it potentially transformative. This is after he tried to manipulate a foreign election in Israel and failed. Oh, yeah. That really got to me, got my goat this morning. But then, as I say, I had to take the magnesium to get over the hangover, which was more important than that, because it is the pebble in the shoe, and that was the pebble in my shoe, was the dermatologist. And then here's something interesting for those of you who think that because I'm a conservative right-winger, I have no taste. That only sophisticated liberals know what they're eating. They actually don't know what they're doing, including what they're eating. They have no taste whatsoever. These liberals eat where they think it's fashionable to eat. I eat based upon my taste. So remember last week I told you Friday I went up to a certain restaurant in North Beach. I hadn't been in a while, and I love the food. Well, I went back last night, and the dish was not the same. It wasn't as good. So I sent an email to the owner. And I said, I know it's a trivial point, but I'm making a bigger point. You ready? I said to him, you know, what? The food wasn't exactly the same. Well, what's going on here? I sent him an email. I said, it was different last night. Maybe the chef was off who made our food last week, or was the seafood left over from the weekend? I never thought I'd get an answer. You know what he answers me? Michael, you have a great palate. Different chef on Wednesday night. Only night the sous chef is in charge. My regular chef has Wednesday off. Wow, you're good. See, it shows you even right-wingers know food, or can know food. I know food. I have a great palate. I didn't know the chef was off. Just, it was not, you know what I'm saying? So I can detect things. I have a sharp nose for lies. I have a sharp nose for seafood. And I have a very sharp nose for dictators and dictatorships. Do we have that sound yet, the song that I asked for? Did Jim get to that one? Not yes, yes, or no, no. What is this rubbish? This guy sounds like he's on ice cream or something. Turn it off. It's just gibberish. I don't mind metal and heavy metal. This guy sounds like he has ice cream in his nostrils. Let's see. Rubio blasts Obama's call for mandatory voting. It won't surprise me if he enacts it. All right, let's see the ice cream man. Play clip three.
First, I don't put anything past them. I mean, there are a lot of things that have already happened that I never thought I would see. And so this would not surprise me if indeed that's the way they move forward on it. But here's the point he refuses to point out or that he misses. Not voting is also a legitimate choice that some people make. I wish more people would participate in politics too, but that is their choice. That is the choice of living in a free society. And so it would not surprise me if at some point before the end of his presidency he tries to move forward on an agenda like that.
How could he move forward on an agenda like that? He's not a dictator. Throw him in jail if he does that. That's all. Imprison him. Have the sergeant at arms finally say enough is enough. You crossed the line. We're taking you in. Why couldn't they do that? There are historical examples of presidents who have exceeded their authority who were impeached, you know that, and arrested, incidentally. I read that on the air. You don't believe it. You think they're above the law? Who gave this the man the right to do the things he's doing? Does he have the authority to flood America with illegal aliens with the stroke of a pen? Of course not! So Rubio doesn't mention that. That's all. Next case. Move on. There's nothing to see here. So now he's pro-choice when he wants to be, but when it comes to voting, all of a sudden, he wants to make us into North Korea. I know that there are democracies. You're going to tell me that there are democracies that have mandatory voting, such as Australia. I understand that, and you pay a $50 fine if you don't vote. I get it. And there are democracies such as Belgium that require it. I get it. But then there are countries like North Korea which require it. Countries like Egypt which require mandatory voting. Remember the purple dots on their head or whatever? Honduras, they require it. Here's another great example of mandatory voting from Lebanon. It's another great country that requires mandatory voting. Nauru in the Pacific, that's a real model for America. Panama requires it. That's how they got Pineapple Head. Paraguay, where the grandnephew of Adolf Hitler reigns. Peru, another example, shining example of Peru. Singapore, another dictatorship. Thailand, Uruguay. All right, so it's a mixed bag, compulsory voting. Well, go ahead, vote on it. Why doesn't Obama demand that Congress vote on mandatory voting instead of saying he's going to force it down our throats? Go ahead, vote on it. See if you can pass it in Congress now. We know right away that the lockstep dictators will go for it. All the hags on the left, Feinstein, Pelosi. If that woman makes a coherent statement between now and 2016, I'll tell you what, I'll give you $1,000 each. How does that woman retain her position? She flubs the Hillary defense, Pelosi. You're not going to I don't think she knows what a server is. I think she thinks it means a servant. I want you to listen to her talk about Hillary and the server in clip 24 and tell me if you don't believe that Pelosi means servant rather than server. Listen to it.
I think we're going to just see the ongoing attempt to investigate Hillary Clinton, whatever the subject, whether it's her emails or it's her hair or whatever it happens to be. So that's what I'm concerned about as just a politicization of an issue. And if the fact is the speaker says that that her server should be turned over, well, I think that Hillary Clinton should not be treated any differently than any other Secretary of State.
Now, I think that Pelosi doesn't know what a server is. I think she means servant. And she says if the speaker says that her servant should be turned over, I don't know, turned over and spanked. I don't know what you mean by turned over. Somebody has to stop her and say, Mrs. Speaker, do you know what a server is, or were you referring to a servant? I'd like to hear that Bugs Bunny answer. Now listen to the next one about the servants server issue in 25.
Even if you just said in this century where technology has moved forward and
Wait, what did she just say? Play it again, Sam.
Even if you just said in this century where technology has moved forward and this kind of subject would not come up about a server and about emails a number of years ago.
She doesn't know tenses.
Communications,
yes. She's like
an
illegal immigrant. Stop it. She can't even create tenses in her speeches. Did this woman not go to Catholic school? Didn't the nuns teach them tenses? Even if you just said in the century where technology has moved forward and this kind of subject would not come up? About a server? You mean would not have come up? Would not have come up a number of years ago? The nuns didn't teach you that? If you realize that a speaker of this power cannot conjugate, cannot create tenses, what hope is there for the voters in Ferguson? Listen to it again. It's sickening. I know I'm wasting your time.
Even if
Go
you
ahead,
just said
on.
In this century where technology
Turn it off.
Has...
I don't want to. I got a migraine. It came back. I'm sorry. The magnesium was working. I took 4 milliliters of magnesium by drops in orange. It's the most foul-tasting metal you could ever imagine. And by the way, this is something that the young guys who work for me never heard of because they get their wisdom from me. They're smarter than me in some ways. I haven't found them yet, but I'm sure they are. But in terms of things like this, the old lion has some tricks that they never heard of. They said to me, "Dear Hair Dr. Savage, why are you dripping that foul-smelling stuff into orange juice?" I said, A, I have a smashing hangover from the vodka, and B, magnesium works. And they said, "Well, why does magnesium work here, doctor?" I said, "Because alcohol flushes water-soluble nutrients out of your system very rapidly. And one of the most sensitive to this happens to be magnesium. And if you realize that one of the things that bothers you the most after you've been drinking a lot the night before is a sensitivity to sounds and a sort of a ringing in your ears, that's magnesium deficiency," which I wrote about in one of my books in the 1970s. And one, I know I have to leave immediately. God, I'm just getting warmed up. Don't you understand I'm warming up the crowd? But I know we have to pay the bills. Bar nuts are rich in magnesium. However, then they destroy it with sodium. if you could eat nuts that are not laced with salt, you're doing the right thing when you're drinking, because nuts are rich in magnesium, naturally. But if they're full of salt, it's to make you keep drinking, so it you don't want to eat nuts in a bar. What I'm saying to you is magnesium is found in nuts, not the you don't need the salt. But if you're not going to have nuts around, what you should do is get some magnesium, and you're not going to believe how I have revolutionized your ability to have your vodka and drink it, too. I'll be right back on the Savage Nation with all the news of the day.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. This is Arch Enemy, Rise of the Tyrant. Yeah, they should vote. I'm sure people listening to this music should vote in the nightclub. This is Obama's demographic. Turn it off, man. I don't have enough magnesium in the studio. Oh, thank God. Turn it off. So I'm in the streets of North Beach yesterday, and one of the street cops comes over. He said, Michael, you have no idea what support you have in the San Francisco Police Department. I said, under this dictatorship? Under this one-party system? He said, you got it. Anyway, it was really a nice moment. It was one of those Fellini-esque moments of perfection.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Yeah, step right up. Here you are. Step right up. Have your ecstasy here. Get your voting card there. Vote for Obama. Get your ecstasy here. Government ecstasy. We're from Acorn. We love you. Have your ecstasy tablet here. Have your left hand ready for your voting card there. Step right up. Mandatory voting here. Okay, turn it off. That's what we're moving to now. Mandatory voting. The guy is chilling. Is he demonic or what? Is this guy out of his mind? Can't this man stop trying to turn us into a garbage can? Kern, K-E-R-N Radio. Craig, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thank you, Dr. Savage. I grew up in Australia where there was compulsory voting, and the thing which Obama conveniently leaves out is the fact that when you have mandatory voting, you have a very high informal voting record, meaning that people show up, get their name crossed off the ballot roll, and just turn in their ballot incomplete. And in the last election in Australia in 2013, 6% of the nation did that, which means that's 750,000 votes. And that,
what do you mean? They showed up and didn't vote? They just had their name checked that they were there?
That's right. That's exactly right. And the only reason, Dr. Savage, I can think the reason...
Well, here's the part that bothers me. Why would a democracy such as Australia have mandatory voting?
Because it's a holdover from the colonial process. It's just something that's never been cleared off. And I see how the United States is a better representation of democracy because as a voluntary state of voting, you show up and the people who voted generally wanted to vote.
I have another suggestion, which is something I floated before. The transformative president wants to turn us into a third world banana republic with mandatory voting, specifically because he wants, let us say, the immigrant to vote, because he found out, by the way, in latest polls that they don't really vote. So now he's going to require them to vote, which is very intriguing, because then he would have to have voter ID, wouldn't he?
He would, but here's the other thing.
Well, he's against voter ID. Him and the black caucus say that it's racist to have voter ID. Now what? Now they want it the other way?
Well, here's the other thing which I'd like to make the point. I think that it's mandatory voting is going to open the door to mass voting tampering in terms of that. It's going to make it a lot easier to say, oh, we got 300 million people showed up and they all voted Democrat.
Yeah, look, it's a sick man who would continue to try to tamper with the most fundamental element of America is freedom. And this man has forced his issues down our throat from the day he began. Socialized medicine, go down the list. Now what, socialized voting? It's sickening. But I have another idea for transformative politics, and here it is. Let's see how this one would fly. Let's see if we can vote on this one. How about if you're on public assistance, you lose the right to vote? Because it's a given that if you're on public assistance, you're going to vote yourself a raise. And any demagogue who comes along is likely to sway you by saying, well, if you vote for me, I'll give you bigger benefits. So I would say you can argue, and rationally at that, that if you're on public assistance, you temporarily lose your right to vote. That serves two purposes. It means the taxpayers determine who gets elected. That's number one, ruling out the demagogues on the left. Number two, it's an incentive for those on the dole to get off the dole. Now you understand why I'm not in politics. And what about mentally ill people? Who's going to determine whether they can vote? You want to go into the mental hospitals and the prisons and give them a mandatory voting card? I guess they might vote Democrat, don't you suspect? I think so. And now on to something else that's of interest to those of you who follow radio intimately. I just got the ratings for February. It's a monthly thing. I'm not going to read them to you. But I'm going to read only one station, only because it's the biggest station in my network of 250 or so stations, WABC in New York. And in terms of average quarter hour, Michael Savage, I'm talking in day parts only now. I'm not talking about night shows or weekend shows. In day parts only, Michael Savage is number one with an AQH that's pretty big in my time slot in New York. So there's a reason this is happening. New York hears me, and so do many other markets. And following me is some other very good shows, but I beat them all, which is nice to see. In terms of AQH, it's a fact. And don't let anyone lie to you with AQH share, because the share means nothing. Night shows always have bigger shares than day shows. I used to pull 12 shares at night because there's no competition, so you get a bigger share of the audience. The real meat here is the average quarter hour, and Michael Savage has a 28.4 in a day part, and that's indisputable. It's that simple. I'm not supposed to say it, but the fact of the matter is, well, I'll leave it to me and the radio network. That's all. I said it yesterday. I want the third hour in all these big markets. Originally, I was only going to do 2 hours, and then I've been doing 3 hours since I came on the on this network, and I love it. I love the third hour. At first, I thought I could only do 2 hours. I only wanted to do 2 hours. So they have, you know, some nice news blocks and stuff that follow me, but they're not pulling the same numbers I do. I know my audience doesn't know what to do when I go off the air. Speaking of which, next Tuesday is Michael Savage's celebration, 21 years in radio. So you're saying, well, what's the big deal? You know, it is a milestone being 21 years in any profession. And remember, this was not my first profession, but it will be my last. I came to radio rather kind of later in life, and Michael Savage celebrates 21 years in radio. Don't miss it next Tuesday. Conservative King of Storytelling to commemorate anniversary on March 24 with special edition of the Savage Nation. And here's the press release. It's going to go out tomorrow. Michael Savage will celebrate 21 years in radio on March 24 as one of America's most influential talk radio hosts with a special program that will reflect on his more than two decades on the air. This is coming out from Westwood One and Cumulus. He will celebrate it on Tuesday's airing of The Savage Nation by encouraging listeners to call in and share their favorite memories from past shows. Let's say you were a little kid when you first started listening to me, and you were in your father's lap. And your father said, hey, you got to listen to this guy. I want you to call. Or let's say you're a little kid and your mother was listening to the show. And you didn't know anything about anything, but you like the show. And what has it done in your life? That's all next Tuesday. But wait, more than that, I have special rare archival show segments from over the years. And that will include, you're not going to believe this, clips from my first broadcast in 1994. A rare interview with Samuel Cohen, inventor of the neutron bomb. No one has that interview. Nobody. Clips from early Michael Savage shows touching on topics such as my stopping the Dubai port steal. Strangely enough, Charles Schumer came on the show and we agreed on that, believe it or not. Remember that? How tolerance is killing America and barbarians at the gate. We have listener favorite stories from Savage's childhood such as Dead Man's Pants, as well as some of the most memorable call-ins in radio history such as the caller Joe who was considering shooting himself. Remember that call? Taking his own life? And I talked him out of it, and we sent him $10,000. Do you remember Sid the Veteran, who was tortured by the Germans in World War II, who called the show? We're going to play some of those. That'll be my 21st anniversary show. This year, Savage ushered in a new era of talk radio with his groundbreaking unprotected talk format that he uses to interact with listeners on topical current events and lifestyle issues. The new format pioneered by Savage challenges the talk radio industry by combining timely political content with the real-life issues that his millions of listeners are talking about every day, including issues such as health, science, religion, culture, and more. Well, you get the picture. And then they list all my best-selling books and the fact that my third novel in the Jack Hatfield series will be issued in a few months from St. Martin's Press, entitled Countdown to Mecca. That's going to be a blockbuster when I read that on the air. It's got a plot twist I can't read on the air that I created like a year ago when I started it. And no, it's not a nuclear device. No, that's been overused. WJR, Dave, welcome to the program. You're on the Savage Nation with millions of listeners. What's on your mind?
I'm looking forward to Countdown to Mecca, first off, from what I initially planned to say. Two prongs here. One, I re-listened to your show throughout the day on a delay. That's how, you know, obviously great you are. But what do you suggest for someone who has savage withdrawal on the weekend? You mentioned it. When you go off the air, what are your listeners to do? What am I to do other than tear my hair out?
I have no answer other than to ask you why are you addicted? What am I, like a relative, like someone in your life that you never had? Or I remind you of someone that you knew, or what?
You're in the car with me. I mean, that's a lot of your listeners, I'm sure, are like me. Listen, you know, I'm in the car 3-4 hours. So you're a companion there, but you make me laugh out loud. You make me talk back to the radio like a psychopath. It's great.
Do I ever make you cry?
Yes.
When did I ever make you move you to tears?
When you start doing all Obama hate radio.
Oh, you mean when you see what he's really doing to this country and how demonic the man is?
Well, that makes me cry when you point out the real stories that are not covered, of course.
I can only do that so often because it's hard to believe a man would have such an animus to a country that on a daily basis he comes up with yet another way to screw the people. How can he get away with this? Don't people see through his mania? I don't understand it. I can't be the only one.
Who had the pipe that fiddled through the town and everyone followed him? That's what they're doing.
Oh, him? He's the Pied Piper of the radical... Yeah, okay. Well... That's what it is. But do you agree with my idea that if you're on public assistance, you should temporarily lose the right to vote?
I've been torn by that. Because if you were to say unemployment, I would include it. I would say possibly no, because there are some people who should get those benefits because they lost their job through to no fault of their own. But those who are...
Well, hold on. But aren't they going to vote themselves a pay raise through any kind of demagoguery?
Some will, but I don't think the majority...
I can't imagine if I were on welfare that I would vote for anyone who says that the person on welfare doesn't deserve more money. I'd vote for the demagogue who comes along and says, oh, the poor person on welfare is just down on his luck. It's because of the evils of the 1%. We're going to automatically give them a cost of living increase of 10% a year. I'd vote for that person, wouldn't you?
Yeah, welfare.
All right, well, there's my reasoning.
But look at
that's all. All right, here's my answer to the downtime. I don't have an answer. I'm thinking of doing the following, but I don't know if I should announce it. Now, I may as well. Look, it's a natural show. So I just think out loud. That's all. I also have a withdrawal when I'm off the air. I don't know if you know that. It's hard for me when I get off the radio to leave my audience. It's not a one-way street. It's a wed. It's like a wedding between me and the audience. There's a very deep connection. Even though I don't know the audience, we can feel each other. And I think it's one of the things that separates Michael Savage from some other shows, which is the connection, connectivity with the audience. I've heard this for years. The people react to me. It's not just the facts or this and that. There's a feeling that they know me or want to know me or the whatever. I have thought about becoming, I told you this before and I'm thinking about it again, it's to keep in contact with the listener. I'm thinking of doing a kind of lifestyle coach thing, 800 number, you can call in, and on a very selected basis and for a fee, you ask me my opinion on how to deal with one of the issues in your life. I don't know what it could be, a job decision. An area where I'm qualified, I would answer. The areas where I have no qualifications, I wouldn't answer. And personal issues are very hard to answer because you're only hearing one side of a story on personal issues. You're not hearing the other side, so it's hard to answer that one. That's when you say, like, person, like husband, wife. It's very hard to answer those because you're only going to get one side. You don't know the other story, you know. And that would keep me in touch. Let's say, how many can I do, though, a day? Let's say I did, listen to this, 4 people an hour, 15 minutes apiece, right? How many times a day could I do that? I ran the numbers in my head. Let's say I did it 2 hours a day, 7 days a week. I would go crazy from it. Two people an hour is 30 minutes each. That's too long. Because I could answer your questions in 15 minutes or less, or else it's of no value. The reason psychiatrists can't do it in 15 years or less is because it's a way to make money. I mean, either there's an answer to your problem or there isn't. And if I can get any, give you an answer, I can. If not, don't call me again. So I do four people an hour, charge you a nominal fee, do it 2 hours a day. That's eight people a day, 5 days a week is 40 people a week, right? That's like 160 people a month. That's like 1,600, 2,000 people a year. That's a lot of people to deal with. But it would keep me going in the afternoons. Because right now, you know, I've given up everything else in my life except radio. There's virtually nothing else but radio and books. 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 Radiation books. Radiation books. Dave, I don't have an answer for you. The reason he wants mandatory voting is quite simple. He wants next to make sure that there's no term limits so that he can be a dictator for life. Don't put this past him. He floats this idea, and the vermin, the Solenterates, rather, at PBS, the same day have an article on nations which have mandatory voting. And they leave out North Korea, of course. And so what he'll next float is a suspension of term limits for the presidency so that you can keep someone who's experienced and good. And, you know, why start all over again? And why waste all that money on that nasty thing called voting? Let's just have no term limits whatsoever and suspend elections altogether. Think of the money that we could save. You know, President Obama, here's what I suggest. Instead of having mandatory voting, why have voting at all? Why not just stay in office until you're a very, very old man? That way we can eliminate any doubt whatsoever about the greatness of the great Obama. You see what I mean? Okay, you get the picture. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com.
In Australia and some other countries, there's mandatory voting. It would be transformative if everybody voted. That would counteract money more than anything.
Oh, you liar,
you. If everybody voted, then it would completely change the political map in this country.
Well, of course it would. Then you'd have your banana republic, the one you've always wanted. You'd have your Chavez-like electorate, and the poor middle class would continue to shrink as it has been under you, and people would flee the country. God knows where we would go. And then you'd have a gigantic prison population in your prison nation. And you could be the chief jailer. You can decide who lives, who dies, who eats, who starves. And then you'll have a perfect world, wouldn't you? You'd have your Maoist dream. He calls it potentially transformative. That's very interesting. Now, North Korea has such a transformative system. But here's something you haven't heard yet, which I'll repeat again. Here is a man who refuses to back voter ID. He's against it. He says it's racist. How are you going to have mandatory voting without voter ID? So now he's for voter ID? You want to talk about transformative elections? Voter ID would be very transformative because then we'd have less fraud. That's number one. Did you hear that one? Voter ID first.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected talk, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
In Australia and some other countries, there's mandatory voting. It would be transformative if everybody voted. That would counteract money more than anything.
You liar.
If everybody voted.
How could this man get away with lying like this?
It would completely change the political map in this country. The people who tend not to vote are young, they're lower income, they're skewed more heavily towards immigrant groups and minority groups.
Right.
And, you know, they're often the folks who are, they're scratching and climbing.
Those who burnt down Ferguson's
in the middle class, and they're working hard. There's a reason why
robbing convenience stores.
Some folks try to keep them away from the polls. We should want to get them into the polls.
Oh, yeah.
So that may end up being a better strategy in the short term.
Better strategy for what? For a third world republic? Your vision for the transformation, Mr. Obama? And in Hawaii, meanwhile, a well-known Waimanalo home has been sold. But the big question is, who is the buyer? They think it's Barack Obama through some buffers. You see, there's a connection between the sale of the multimillion-dollar estate and a buyer in Chicago. And the buyer in Chicago on paper, the buffer, that is, who bought the Waimanalo estate, was Seth Mydorsky, a Chicago lawyer who has deep ties to president transformation. And then, in the good tradition of transparency, the property was then sold to another limited liability corporation in Colorado. See, this is how a transformative, transparent president works. He says one thing and he does another. So he has Seth Mydorsky, a lawyer, buy it for him, and then it's transferred to another LLC in Colorado. Residents who are familiar with the impact the president has when he visits are wondering what would happen if he has a home here. He's going to be protected by the Secret Service all the time. There'll be all kinds of traffic woes. No kidding. And this is the estate that was featured in the Magnum PI television series. And the home was built in 1933. It sits on 3 acres. It features a tennis court. I don't know if it has a basketball court. Oh, it has a separate bathhouse. Okay. There you go. Separate bathhouse. And sold for $8.7 million. And they said the owner moved out this weekend to prepare for fixing things up, like putting in a basketball court, you see what? And a heliport. I don't know if the bathhouse is going to go, but they do have a bathhouse. You need a bathhouse if you have a beach house. Ask anyone. That salt can really get to you. The new estate accesses a protected beach, one that is hard for other people to reach, even from neighboring properties. The Pahono estate has some seclusion, but the neighborhood still has that laid-back Waimanalo atmosphere. All right, you get the picture. The new owner got a mortgage for $9.5 million on an estate costing $8.7 million. And that's why the president wants to keep money out of politics and have the poor folks vote. Because those are the people he's going to have in his mansion. He's not going to have millionaires and billionaires into the mansion. He's going to have bums. He's going to have people from Ferguson, Missouri come and visit and, you know, play some hoops with him in his backyard. You know the kind of guy he is. He's transformative on paper. Frankly, Waimanalo's a sewer as far as I'm concerned. I lived in Hawaii. I don't know why he would move there. I have no idea. I mean, Hawaii has some beautiful places. I don't think Waimanalo is one of them. Waimanalo is known for a lot of thuggery. It's a place very few people would ever go to for fear of getting beaten up by the locals. You know, the locals who hate America and drive the big cars and eat in, you know, Fatsy Boys. They put down America, they collect the check, they eat in Fatsy Boy Diner, and they drive big American cars. Well-known Waimanalo home, big deal. What do you expect? Okay, Campobello it is not. So mandatory voting is the question. That's what it's about. And I'm carrying it over to this idea. It's a terrible idea. It's an insult to our democracy. It's a violation of our civil rights, by the way. And the fact of the matter is, yeah, we have a right to vote. But it's not a right to vote if you get fined for not voting. It's an obligation to vote, like paying your taxes. You don't have a right to pay your taxes. You have an obligation to pay your taxes. And you get penalized if you don't do it, right? So now you're going to put voting in the same category as paying taxes? To pretend it's a right, Mr. Obama, when you can be prosecuted for not doing it, is classic doublespeak out of the most divisive anti-American president imaginable. You couldn't write a better story. If I were writing a novel, which I do, and I wanted to write a novel about a foreign power that took over a country and destroyed it as quickly as he's been doing it, I couldn't do it because he can't get away with any more than he's getting away with. Voting is a right, not a duty. Low turnout is a representation of political will. The fact of the matter is that we don't need everyone to vote. You want illegal aliens to vote? They don't even belong in the country to begin with. And secondly, it's an excuse for corrupt governmental behavior. Some governments, as you know, run rigged elections, and they use compulsory voting as a cover-up for what would otherwise be considered a dictatorship. Mr. Obama, you know that. You're a smart man. You went to law school. And by forcing individual citizens to vote, the elections can then be rigged, and the voice of the population would be completely ignored if you wanted it to. Wouldn't that be transformative, to have Obama's brain decide who the president is? So compulsory elections is the opposite of freedom. Now let's move on. The man is insulting us on a daily basis. Potentially transformative is the key word. Here's Michael Savage's idea, which I'll float right now. This is really transformative. If you go on public assistance, you temporarily lose the right to vote. That means that you have an incentive to want to get off assistance, number one. And number two, you can't vote yourself a raise. I was poor once. I was poor once, and anyone who would have promised me a chicken in every pot, I would have voted for. As it turns out in America, the Lib Dems now promise you pot in every chicken to make certain that your son is stoned every day. They promise you medical marijuana in his head. Yeah, that's pot in every chicken. You can't read the tea leaves. And speaking of pot in every chicken, there's an interesting article on brain abnormalities and poor long-term memory among young cannabis users. Medical News Today, didn't come from the government. Smoking dope daily for 3 years as a teen is linked with having an abnormally shaped hippocampus and long-term memory problems, according to the results of a new study by researchers, not from Brazil, but the Northwestern Medical Center in Chicago, Illinois. Northwestern Medicine in Chicago, Illinois. Now, many of you don't know what the hippocampus is. The hippocampus is not a campus for hippopotami, nor is it a place where hipsters congregate at colleges. The hippocampus region of the brain is important for regulating emotions and long-term memory, which is, of course, why the leftists wanted to flood America with marijuana use, which is to control the emotions and long-term memory. This is not really a brand new finding, because back in 08, a study conducted by researchers at the University of Melbourne, Australia, found an association between structural abnormalities in the hippocampus and long-term heavy cannabis use. The Australian researchers found that the hippocampus and amygdala were smaller in cannabis users than in non-users. I always knew they had smaller brains. The cannabis users also had demonstrated more sub-threshold symptoms of psychotic disorders than the control group who did not use cannabis. See, I told you liberalism is a mental disorder, and now we have the proof. Because I know there are conservatives who smoke dope. I understand that, but I can guarantee you that more liberals smoke marijuana on a daily basis than do conservatives. So this confirms why they're mentally ill. Red diaper doper baby. Bingo. Now, here's a promising story about the brain, since I like to do health topics and all of the other stuff. Alzheimer's disease. New ultrasound technique restores memory in mice. This is an interesting finding. In the U.S., a person develops Alzheimer's disease every 67 seconds. By the year 2050, it is estimated as many as 16 million Americans will have the disease. But researchers from the Queensland Brain Institute at the University of Queensland in Australia say they have made a breakthrough in treatment for the condition. This is in mice now. A non-invasive ultrasound technology that can restore memory. This is an interesting study. It's phenomenal, by the way. And what they did is, first of all, you have to know that the brain changes when you have Alzheimer's. And beta amyloid is a protein fragment or peptide that is thought to be involved in the development of Alzheimer's. And as we age, fragments of beta amyloid can clump together in the brain, forming plaques, which accumulate in the spaces between nerve cells called synapses, right? So it's thought that these plaques contribute to Alzheimer's disease. It's thought that they interfere with communication between nerve cells, making it difficult for them to survive, which leads to cognitive decline and memory loss. So there have been drugs that have been created to combat beta amyloid buildup in the brain, and that's been reported. But now there's a new method where no drugs are involved. It's called an ultrasound method, which restored memory to levels seen in healthy mice. And what they do is they direct repeated scanning ultrasound to the brain in order to temporarily open the blood-brain barrier. And when used on the brains of Alzheimer's mouse models, the team found the technique successfully cleared beta amyloid plaques in 75% of mice. That's pretty amazing. The ultrasound waves oscillate tremendously quickly, activating microglial cells. That's a hard word, even for me. It is. I mean, I'm not an expert in the area. Microglial cells that digest and remove the amyloid plaques that destroy brain synapses, explains Professor Gotz. I find it very interesting. It's published in a reputable journal called Brain. And they found beta amyloid accumulation in the brains of adults as young as 20 years old. Pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. I should add a footnote. This is not a study from today. But over 25 years ago, for a brief number of years, I was director of a small group called the Alzheimer's Research Institute. I even wrote a book called Reducing the Risk of Alzheimer's, published in 1981. I don't know the 81, 82, which in many ways was 30 years ahead of its time. In this book, I talked about a few things that were just beginning to be, or to just beginning to dawn on science. And one of them was the fact that Alzheimer's could be prevented by the use of megadoses of antioxidants. This is currently being proffered about by experts in the field. I wrote it in 1981 in a book, Reducing the Risk of Alzheimer's. I don't even know if the book's available. I had become fascinated by the subject, and I did as much reading as I could. I also found some interesting papers in the health food or alternative medical literature about the relationship between aluminum ingestion and the development of these plaques in the brain. I found the studies very interesting because aluminum is a neurotoxic metal, and yet we find it in antacids and antiperspirants, etc. And there were some very interesting relationships between the ingestion of aluminum, both passive and actively, and the development of Alzheimer's. So I cut all aluminum out of my diet, including, by the way, and this was very interesting. You know how if you take home a piece of pizza? Here we go with food again. I can't help it. I mean, we are animals that eat, right? You take home a piece of pizza, and you wrap it tightly in a piece of aluminum foil and throw it in the back of your fridge, and you pull that pizza out a couple of days later, you've actually transferred some of the aluminum into the pizza because tomato is acidic, and the acid interacts with the aluminum, and then the aluminum is absorbed into the piece of pizza, for example. And the same with aluminum cooking pots. I do not use any aluminum cooking pots. Now, restaurants are another story. You know, they don't use stainless steel. I do. I threw out all my aluminum pots and pans a long time ago. I dread using them. You know, how could this be? What do you know? You're no expert. You're just a right-wing nut. We know everything. Ask the president. Let him, because it's confirmed science that you know nothing. It's confirmed science. Nothing to do with food. Just take your medicine and shut your mouth. The science is in. Well, the science is in on nothing. Very little is known, is 100% known, except by the demagogues who claim that there's such a thing as confirmed science. About the only thing you can confirm in science, according to the greatest scientists, are what the elements are. That's about it. Other than that, science is pretty much open on most everything else. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. A turkey sandwich just arrived. I feel like I'm in prison, like people drop food off, you know, intermittently here. It's not bad, though. Yesterday was pizza, now it's a turkey sandwich. I eat a lot the next day after I drink. I don't know what that's about. Blood sugar, who knows what it is. I feel great. The magnesium helped a lot. So we're talking about the dictator, the emergent dictator, who is a madman. You know why I call him a madman? Because he is mad. Have you ever heard of a president where every day you wake up, he has another idea to transform us into a third world nation? Have you ever seen a president who doesn't stop in his desire to, quote, transform a nation? Here's a nation who took an unknown 10th-rate senator and made him into president. That wasn't good enough for him. Here's a nation that puts up with a first lady who travels around the world on the government dime and doesn't say a word about it. That's not good enough for him. Here's a nation that lets a president have a street rat like Al Sharpton in and out of the White House without demanding impeachment. That's not good enough for him. I can go down the list. I give you 100 reasons. But still not good enough for him. He needs a transformative event, like voting now for illegal aliens, voting for people in prison, to make certain that the hardworking middle class, which pays taxes through their nose, eyes, and ears, have less of a say in their own government. And those who contribute the least have the most impact. That's what it comes down to. But the biggest flaw in this fraud's argument is this. This fraudulent Fugazi president of ours has the nerve to demand mandatory voting just in a joke, really, right? And here's the same man who has fought voter ID laws for every ounce of his presidency. Every time you want voter ID, which is a sane thing to do in any nation, him and the Congressional Black Caucus and the left-wing goon squads scream racism. What is racist about making sure that a person's a citizen before they can vote? Tell me what's racist about that. And you can take that racist label, and you know what you can do with it? It has no power anymore. It has no meaning anymore. Because those who use it the most are usually the worst racists on the planet. And I am sick of it. I want voter ID laws, and I want no illegal aliens voting in my country. That's transformative.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
In Australia and some other countries, there's mandatory voting. It would be transformative.
Uh-oh.
If everybody voted. That would counteract money more than anything.
Oh, money,
if,
huh?
If everybody voted.
How'd you buy that mansion?
It would completely change the political map in this country.
Sure it would. We'd be Venezuela. Isn't that what you've always wanted? Now, I'm not going to let this go because this is the most outrageous thing he's suggested yet. He wants to make sure that illegal immigrants vote because the latest polls show that they don't vote. So they're figuring out any way they can to turn us into a third world banana republic as quickly as possible. Now, let me turn this around because I find out that by reversing things, people can understand them more readily, how outrageous this is. Listen to clip two and I'll explain it.
The people who tend not to vote are young, they're lower income, they're skewed more heavily towards immigrant groups and minority groups, and you know, they're often the folks who are, they're scratching and climbing to get into the middle class, and they're working hard.
Right.
There's a reason why some folks try to keep them away from the polls. We should want to get them into the polls. So that may end up being a better strategy in the short term.
Well, I'll give you a better strategy, Mr. Obama. Here's one to consider. How about those who pay very high taxes get more votes? In other words, anyone who pays $100,000 or more in federal taxes gets more than one vote. Why should a person who pays no taxes have the same vote that I do? I'm in a higher income bracket, admit it. I worked all my life. I'm in a high income bracket. It burns me that a bum on welfare can vote and has the same vote I have. I go into the city and I see filth in the gutter that you can't believe. It makes Calcutta look like Snow White. Vermin walking in the gutters of San Francisco. Deranged lunatics that can pull a gun out or a knife and kill you at any minute. They vote. You hear this? Why should that lunatic in the street have the same vote I do? What sane nation on earth would have a deranged lunatic, a homeless bum, able to vote? Tell me. Well, so you could say, what are you saying? Well, let me give you something that's very transformative. The more you pay in taxes, the more votes you have. Make it a sliding scale like the taxes. After all, the more money you earn, the more taxes you pay, right? So what do I get for it? Do I get better roads than the bum? Do I get better protection than the bum? No, I get the same, so I'm being robbed. I would like some proportional representation. So my suggestion for a transformative act would be that the more taxes you pay, the more votes you get by the bunch. You say, well, wait a minute, now if a guy is a trillionaire, he gets more votes? He does anyway. He goes to dinner with Obama. No, he's having dinner with a bum. Don't you love it? He says to counteract money more than anything else. Yeah, he goes to dinner with the homeless bums in the White House. Every day he has them over to dinner. Him and Michelle love to have people with tuberculosis in from Honduras for dinner. Who do you think goes to the White House for dinner? You? No. It's people with trillions of dollars or billions of dollars, whatever, to drop bundles of cash on him. What's he traveling all over the country for? To meet the poor? Was he Mother Teresa all of a sudden? Ah. What's the point of eating my heart out over the lies? You can spend your whole life trying to disseminate the truth about this guy's lies, and you wouldn't even scratch the surface. 54% want fresh faces in 16. This is on the Drudge Report. Dem support for Hillary softens. What else? Big deal. Was Clinton running her own rogue intel operations? No kidding. Senator presses for info on Huma's special government status. No kidding. She's like rotting guava on a jungle floor. Forget about it. No one's going to vote for her. What, the young people don't even know who she is? Some sourpuss from New York, that's all. A carpetbagger from New York, that's what they see her as. She's not a fresh face. She's about as fresh as Jeb Bush's facelift. I can give you some Hannah Youngmans in a minute. I don't have a violin right now. I'm not in the mood. 800-449, I forget the number. No, it's an old number from another time. I forgot my phone number. I just had a jump. I had a jump cut to 10 years ago. Oh, here's my number, 855-400-SAVAGE, but was sold out. I want to talk about a blog I read called The Demise of Guys, written by Philip Zimbardo. I'll make it short. He reflects on the demise of guys. Guys are flaming out academically. They're wiping out socially with girls and sexually with women. He said, other than that, there's not much of a problem. He says, so what's the data? The data on dropping out is amazing. Boys are 30% more likely than girls to drop out of school. In Canada, 5 boys drop out for every 3 girls. Girls outperform boys now at every level, from elementary school to graduate school. There's a 10% differential between getting BAs in all graduate programs, with guys falling behind girls. 2/3 of all students in special ed remedial programs are guys, and as you all know, boys are 5 times more likely than girls to be labeled as having ADD and therefore being drugged with Ritalin. So what's causing it? Well, let's start with the radical feminists who hate men. Let's start with the war on men. Let's start with the loudmouth radical feminists who hate men in every aspect of their DNA, who have distorted the country where boys are pushed aside like third-class citizens. Now, some will argue it's other than the radical feminists who've taken over education from elementary to grad schools. They say it's a fear of intimacy. Intimacy means physical, emotional connection with somebody else. And especially somebody of the opposite sex, who gives off ambiguous, contradictory, phosphorescent signals. That's funny. That's a great line. Ryan, what do you think of that? Ambiguous, contradictory, phosphorescent signals. What are they, a fish? A tetra? What kind of fish? Is it a fish or a person? What kind of girl gives off ambiguous, contradictory, phosphorescent signals? I never heard of that. That's pretty well good writing, by the way. Sounds like a neon tetra. Every year there's research done on self-reported shyness among college students, and we're seeing a steady increase among boys. Social awkwardness. The old shyness was a fear of rejection. It's a social awkwardness like you're a stranger in a foreign land. They don't know what to say. They don't know what to do, especially one-on-one with the opposite sex. They don't know the language of face contact. The nonverbal and verbal set of rules that enable you to comfortably talk to somebody else, listen to somebody else. This is very well written, by the way, but I don't know if it's going to go over most people's heads. I mean, I don't know how to explain it. Just the boys are being picked on by the radical feminist educational establishment. And every movie, every TV show, every ad shows the male as a moron and the woman as the genius, especially a minority woman. Oh, she's the judge. She's the pilot. She's the astronaut. She runs the company. Wherever you turn, what happened to the ad agencies? How did they become so insane? Everywhere you turn, there's a minority woman sitting like Mother Teresa, knows everything. She's smarter than everybody. They're all gathering around her. She created the business. She's so smart, just like the president is. You wonder why boys are backing out of schools. Then they cause for other factors here. Excessive internet use in general by boys. Excessive video gaming. Excessive new access to porno, which, by the way, destroyed the boys. We know that. The problem is these are arousal addictions. With drug addiction, you simply want more. With arousal addiction, you want different. Drugs, you want more of the same. Get it? So you need the novelty in order for the arousal to be sustained. So who's supplying it? By the time a boy is 21 years old, he's played 10,000 hours of video games, most of that in isolation. You hear this? The average boy, listen to this one, now watches 50 porn video clips a week. I cannot believe this. Are you serious? How could a boy have sex with a girl, by the way, after that? The average boy now watches 50 porn video clips a week. And then there's some guy watching 100 a week. So his average is 50, right? And the porn industry is one of the fastest growing industries in America, $15 billion annually. Are you ready for this one? For every 400 movies made in Hollywood, there are 11,000 now making porn videos. 400 movies made in Hollywood. There are 11,000 new ones made of porn, I guess. So the boys have a new kind of arousal. Boys' brains are being digitally rewired in a totally new way for change, novelty, excitement, and constant arousal. That means they're totally out of sync in traditional classes, which are analog, static, interactively passive. The boys are also totally out of sync in romantic relationships, which build gradually and subtly. See, boys don't understand that. They watch porn, they think the girl is a hooker, and she's going to behave like a hooker in a porn movie. There's a very interesting article by Phil Zimbardo, The Demise of Guys. I think it's on YouTube. I'm not sure. Sounds like it is. Pretty good. So we have a real problem in America. Are you looking ahead? Can you imagine what this country is going to be like? Unbelievable. Yeah, there's dietary elements as well, of course, but it's societal. There's no question about that. So look, I put out a lot of different ideas today. Lots and lots of ideas on the show. From hangovers to the hangover of the dictator in chief. Doesn't every day gets up with another one. Just when you think he's finished wrecking the country, the next day he's fresh and ready to go again. Now he has another one, mandatory voting, like in North Korea. The man doesn't stop. So if you want to comment on any of these topics, and I've covered marijuana damaging the brain, aluminum damaging the brain, not voting if you're on public assistance. I really believe that's only fair. It doesn't mean you're a bad person if you're on welfare or public assistance. It means that you're going to vote yourself a raise no matter what you think, no matter what you say. If a demagogue says he's going to raise your welfare by 10%, you'll vote for him. You're not going to vote for someone who says, I want to cut welfare payments, are you? That would be against common sense. So I say the incentive to get back off welfare is that you will get the vote again if you work your way out. What's the incentive today to get off welfare? Tell me. What it is? You have everything else, so what's the difference? You want to vote? So that's one of my ideas. Another idea, and I know this wouldn't fly any more than giving the vote to illegal aliens, which they're doing anyway, and such, and mandatory voting is not going to pass. That would require a constitutional amendment, which is never going to happen. And the faker-in-chief knows that. But he likes to play with people's heads. This is something you don't know. He has a hatred for the people so sufficient that he likes to screw with their heads every day. There are people like this. I can't use the phrase that is known in common parlance for this type of person. This guy is a real head. I can't use the word. He's really got a bad thing for screwing with people who are decent, hardworking taxpayers. In other words, he's got an evil animus towards us, in plain English. And then as in Israel, they use the phrase, the left wing is bussing in Arab voters. Well, how about if I tell you the left wing under the commander-in-chief is bussing in illegal aliens? The left wing is bussing in non-citizens to vote. I wouldn't be lying to you, would I? The left wing has distorted the elections in America so that harridans like Dianne Feinstein get reelected over and over again. That's why the ballot's in 16 languages. Would I be wrong about that? Why would... Oh, God. What's the point of talking about it? See, you feel the same way I do. You've reached the point of what's the talker. You don't want to talk about it anymore. You just don't. Yeah, there's nothing you can do about a system run by a corrupt presidency that was already shaky and corrupt. This guy comes along and, like Al Capone, wants to turn it into a one-man rule. And nobody says anything. Few people in the media who do get slammed for it. No one in the government says anything. Well, some do. But they do it nicely. They do it Robert's Rules of Orders instead of screaming and yelling at him and telling him to get off the act already about being Mr. Transformative and stick to making the country work instead of transforming it into a hellhole. All right. I'm finished talking. We have very little time left. I'm going to take a quick commercial break and be right back to take your calls right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com.
I think it's hard for voters to see why it is that things aren't working in Washington. They get frustrated that they're not working, but there's this kind of sense of, well, a plague on both their houses. partly because the media is so splintered up. You know, if you're watching Fox News, you get an entirely different reality than if you're watching MSNBC. And
oh, Washington's working. We elected a Republican Congress. The only thing we haven't been able to do is throw you out on your keister. That's what we voted for in November, to get rid of you. We hate you. Obama is the most hated president in American history. Washington's working very well. But you're meddling in the system. You're trying to gum up the works. You're trying to turn us into a third world banana republic on a daily basis. That's what's not working. Congress is working just fine. They invited one of the greatest statesmen of our time to Congress, and you, like a spoiled brat, you didn't even watch the speech, right? You're busy playing video games with someone in the Ukraine. Oh, Congress is working real fine. It's the presidency that's a destruction. A failure like you could never believe. We're stuck with someone like this that 99% of the American voters hate. The real voters. I don't mean the ones that are illegal in the country. How many people voted in this country in the last election who are not qualified to vote? Can you answer that question? Of course you can't answer it. Why not? Because there's no voter ID laws. Why is it that this country has no voter ID laws? Australia has them. Most of the nations that Obama points out have compulsory voting also have voter ID laws to make sure that illegal aliens don't vote. But he left that out, along with PBS, the liars on PBS, who also left out North Korea. No, Congress is working just fine. That's why we elected them. The only thing standing in the way of a better America is a president who is a socialist Islamist. Let's put it that way. Let's make it real easy. Socialist Islamist liar from the top to the bottom. Today he just passed another executive order limiting greenhouse gases. So let me ask you something. When are they putting banana peels in the gas tanks of Air Force One? Can anyone answer that? How much hypocrisy can come out of one man's mouth in one day? Out of one side, green energy, we're going to pass green energy, green energy, green energy. All government vehicles and government officers have to cut their greenhouse gases by 40% over the next number of years. And he's what, going to put banana peels into the gas tanks of Air Force One, along with Jane Fonda? Going to run on propane? No, again, hypocrisy. Ask him why his wife and he flew on separate jets to California last week. Ask if he's got any answer to that one about greenhouse gases. It's the same as half of the actors, 90% of the liars in Hollywood. What's that jerk? Leon DiCaprio, who's a good actor, by the way. I like his acting. But I don't turn to Leon DiCaprio for information on science. He has a beautiful yacht. He has all of these loose women on it with him. Flies all over the world on his whatever his jet is. God bless him. He earned it. And then he lectures on greenhouse gases. You hear this? Who in the Hollywood believes anything that come? They tell him what to say. The same people tell Obama what to say. The first lady's obesity, that's her thing. You hear this? She knocks down French fries as her favorite food and tells you to eat a banana. That's Hollywood for you. All right, have another big hour. I'm sorry some of you can't hear it.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE.
Savage.
Content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
What if we were to write Race Together on every Starbucks cup, and that facilitated a conversation between you and our customers? And what if our customers, as a result of that, had a renewed level of understanding and sensitivity about the issue? And they themselves would spread that to their own sphere of influence.
It's no wonder people think corporate executives are morons. Here's this idiot from Starbucks with the Race Together. They want a 16-year-old kid or 18 years old out of college struggling to get ahead, suddenly to engage in social control, social engineering. So that really backfired on Starbucks. People are saying, are you crazy? So someone looked up different cities. And guess what they found out? This is really embarrassing. It's an inconvenient truth for the CEO of Starbucks. Now, they want us to talk about race, which we did yesterday in the Savage Nation. We talked about Mrs. Robinson's comments that she was reluctant or uncomfortable about her daughter, Michelle, marrying a gentleman of mixed race. And she says, but thank God he wasn't 100% white. Could have been worse. I don't know if you can bring that up in Starbucks, but be my guest. See if that works out for you. Anyway, someone looked up on race now, America's cities that are mostly black, and to see what the Starbucks quotient was. And guess what? There are no Starbucks coffee houses in many of these cities that are largely black. Example, Highland Park, Michigan, which is the center of Detroit, inhabited by a population that is 94% African-American, or in Benton Harbor, Michigan, which is almost 90% African-American, no Starbucks in either town. East St. Louis, Illinois, 98% of the population African-American, no Starbucks. Gary, Indiana, population 85% African-American, no Starbucks. 2 weeks ago, the president marched in Selma. Many people have fought for civil rights. Couldn't get a coffee in Starbucks there. There is no Starbucks. And by the way, Ferguson, Missouri has no Starbucks. So if you want to have a conversation about race in Starbucks, ask them why they haven't built a Starbucks in most of those cities that they claim they're so concerned about. Why do they seem to put Starbucks in cities that are largely populated by Caucasians? Anyone answer that? Any answer to that one? Another report says Christianity is the most persecuted faith worldwide, thanks to the Muslim president. I mean the president of the United States. I mean, his name isn't Barack Christian Obama, is it? It's Barack Hussein Obama. His middle name isn't Christian. So all of a sudden, there's a war against Christians around the world. He doesn't say a word. The most religious president in American history, right? You see this one this morning? According to ICE, that's the the company that's supposed to protect us from illegal aliens, 167,000 criminal aliens were released into the United States by Barack Obama. Now here's another one for you to think about in the third hour of the Savage Nation, all of you self-satisfied liberals. They asked the new Secretary of Defense to name the biggest threat to U.S. security. Is it climate change or debt? Can you believe this moron? It's not ISIS, which is on a blitzkrieg around the world. No, it's climate change. Now you understand why people hate this government. Hate it, hate it, hate it, hate it, hate it. Welcome to hour number three. I know you can't use the word hate. But the Bible says there's a time to love and a time to hate. Did you know that? Do you have that turn, turn, turn song that I used to play all the time? The lyrics are quite interesting and very telling. Turn, turn, turn. There's a time to love and a time to hate. Time to laugh, a time to cry. Yeah, I know it's from Ecclesiastes, but it was played by the birds. It was sang by the birds. The birds, the birds. The birds, the birds, the birds. Why is there no Starbucks in these cities? But let's go back to why boys are dropping out of school. Let's talk about my idea that anyone who has public assistance should be denied the vote temporarily. You get the vote back when you go back, when you're back on your feet and earning a living. That's all. Let's go to Frank on WABC. Frank, what's on your mind tonight? Go ahead, please.
Hey, Dr. Savage. My question to you, I have not read your book, but the title really intrigues me, Stop the Coming Civil War. I'd like to know your honest opinion on civil war or revolution in this country, because only an hour and a half upstate in New York, I got Islamabad. And these people are training up there. Why are they training up there? What are they getting ready for? So I'd like...
Well, there's not only Islamberg in upstate New York. There are numerous Islamic villages that are using weapons and weapons training across America. Do you know that?
You're damn right. I know it, and I keep a watchful eye on it every chance I get.
You see, but you shouldn't fear Muslims. That would make you a racist, and you'd be racially profiling.
You know something, Mike?
You should welcome Muslims with guns. Look how nicely they're performing in the Middle East. Look how democratically oriented the Muslim religion is in so many of these countries. I mean, there's the nations we should be looking towards for our future and our role models. Our Islamic nations, according to Obama, they're nations of peace.
But I have to say...
Well, I mean, the thing is, though, if you want to make a perfectly peaceful nation, what you do is you kill all the minorities and people of other religions, and then it becomes more peaceful. And then you put everybody else into a basic prison camp. You cut off heads, you kill adulterers, you kill Christians, Jews, Yazidis, and then you have peace. Peace on earth shall prevail when you have one religion ruled by one maniac.
Well, I still say that the stink is going to hit the fan one day soon here. They're all calling...
My actual question, your question though is really, will there be an actual civil war? My first answer is the first word in my title, stop. because my goal in writing the book was to outline what he is doing, what he has been doing, what he was going to be doing, and how he was going to try to provoke insurrection in the country. In fact, he's getting worse, not better. He's not slowed down, has he? Has the man slowed down in his desire to provoke people into some kind of angry reaction? The answer is no, of course not. So does he actually want insurrection? You betcha. I spent 300 pages with references showing you why I think he would like that. And then I warned people not to fall for the game. 2 weeks ago, I had a show called The White Owl, and I said that in The White Owl, it came to me in a dream that the best way to resist this man's evil intentions is to forgive him. I didn't say accept him, but forgive him for what he's doing. Because only through forgiveness can you stop reacting to him. So I'm going to follow my own advice and talk about other topics. Okay? 855-400-7282. WGDJ Radio. June, on the boy issue. Go ahead, please.
Cannabis and pain medications lower testosterone level. The herbicides, pesticides, and hormones fed to animals are a form of estrogens. The stuff that leaks out of plastic is a form of estrogen. So our males are being bathed in estrogen. It's like at puberty when they're supposed to change and have that testosterone bath. It's, they're being bathed in estrogen. And that's one of the...
Wouldn't that satisfy the Hollywood mob? Then they have more shows on runways.
And then the stimulants, they cause erectile dysfunction.
Well, isn't that perfect? Make a boy impotent and stupid. What could be better? How else to take over the country by radical feminists?
Absolutely. Now, the thing that...
Wait, what did you say causes erectile dysfunction? What did you say, Ritalin?
The stimulants cause erectile dysfunction.
Wait, which stimulants?
All of them.
They do?
Yes.
Does coffee cause erectile dysfunction?
No, I'm talking about the drug.
Whoa, that was a close one, thank God.
Yeah.
So you mean the synthetic stimulants cause erectile dysfunction?
Yeah, Adderall, Concerta, Ritalin, you know, all of them.
Have you studied this issue or what?
Yeah, I'm an NP in psych. And,
okay, no, I'm asking. I don't know anything. I've never read that the Adderall and related substances cause erectile dysfunction.
Well, they keep it out of the psych literature. You can find it in the urology literature.
Oh, my God. So it's almost like a conspiracy against males.
Yeah, I found out about it from a urologist, and then I started looking, and it is there.
Now, here's the whole thing to remember. The feminists not only hate men, but they've been trying to make sure America can't defend itself militarily. They have no idea what they're doing, by the way. You know, the road to you-know-where is paved with good intentions. All of us don't want war. Nobody wants war. War is hell. War is a disaster. However, when a man breaks into your house, you may have to shoot him. And if we now have Islamists in 49 of our states, I would say that we need some testosterone-riddled males to defend us, wouldn't you?
Oh, my God. One of the things I find is that the men no longer have passion. And I just don't mean sexually. There's no passion to them.
I read that a lot. They have no emotions in those directions. That's pretty interesting. I may be one of the last men on earth with any passion at all.
You may be.
No, my generation may be the last one with passion, I swear to God. How is that possible? Why? I mean, I grew up with all sorts of toxins in the environment. Well, they didn't drug us. My mother would have killed a doctor who would have put me on drugs for behavior. She would have slapped him in the face.
By estrogen every day.
If a doctor had suggested that I was too this, too that, and to put me on drugs, she would have spit at him. She would have told him he's a crackpot and a drug peddler.
And he would have been.
Well, they didn't in my day. In other words, if a kid was, let's say, jumpy or edgy or whatever, he was usually brighter. He didn't have a disease. He was bored to death from the school. He couldn't stand learning what a peninsula was from the first grade to the fifth grade. By the fifth grade, he wanted to jump out of the school window. So he caused mischief. Now they drug him, so the idiot sits there. So from the first grade to the fifth grade, he learns what a peninsula is. You know, I remember joking about this, that from grades 1 to 5, I learned what a peninsula was. I didn't remember learning anything else. 5 years, they taught me the same things over and over and over again. It was basically teaching me how to sit still.
Mm-hmm.
Which didn't work, by the way. Today it would be a disease. They put me into a brain machine to see why I can't sit still listening to what a peninsula is for five years. You know what's really sad, June, is this. When I was young, they had classes for the dumb or the slow and classes for the quick and the smart. Did you know that? That they separated kids out by learning abilities? Did you know that?
Oh, sure. I'm an older woman. I know about this.
Okay, so if you were smarter, they put you in a class with smarter kids so you could learn faster and how to keep up with other smart kids. If you were slower, God forbid, they put you in a class with slower kids. So, A, you weren't frustrated, and B, you learned at a slower rate. And if a poor child was born with learning disabilities, and that's a tragedy, they didn't put them into a regular class and slow the whole class down. They put them in a class for kids with learning disabilities in order to help them more. Now, by mixing everybody together with this madness called fairness, has the level of education gone up or down? It's gone down. We're one of the most uneducated nations on the planet as a result of 30 years of liberal social engineering. Thanks for the call. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. I wasn't brainwashed into breaking into a store and robbing a cigarette. Whatever, it's no point even telling you this. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you never will. And if you do know what I'm talking about, you agree with me, so thanks for listening. Let's take some callers on all the issues that I've raised, and I must have raised 13 different issues already today. David on KUGN Radio, that's Eugene, Oregon, I guess. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hello. Michael?
Yeah, what's the whispering? Yes?
Oh, Michael, you can hear me?
What is this? What kind of question is this? Of course I can hear you.
Okay. You know, any time I listen to you, I feel negative. You are the most negative man in the world.
Then why are you listening to me?
I just happen to hear you every now and then.
Oh, you just happen to hear me, right. Every day you just happen to hear me for 3 hours.
Good luck for you.
All right, David, what's the topic you want to discuss? Let's argue over the topic instead of giving me a general you don't like me number. David, are you there? Or what's that? What happened? They called you back to the nut house? They pulled you back into the ward? David, calling Eugene, Oregon. I'm too negative. No, I never heard you before. I was just scanning around, and I accidentally heard you, and I never heard anything like it. How come you don't like the president? How come you say he's nasty? How come you don't understand how good he is and transformative? And why don't you listen to NPR? And how come PBS? How come I listen to them and I feel positive? I listen to you, I feel negative. I don't understand it. What's your name? Why are you on the radio? When did you begin? I don't know what it is. I'm going to call the FCC. I'm going to make sure that only positive things about the president are said. That's the kind of democracy I want to live in. So let me ask you something, smart man in liberal Eugene, Oregon. How come that the CEO of Starbucks says we should have a conversation on race, forcing poor kids who are working there to be uncomfortable, to talk to people on a subject they know nothing about? Can you ask one question the next time you go into a Starbust? It's liable to be a Starbust after this. The company could bust out because of this. Which is, why are there no Starbucks in largely African-American neighborhoods? I didn't make that up. I gave you examples. Why is it the largely in lily-white neighborhoods? Why are there no Starbucks in cities that are mostly black, such as Highland Park, Michigan, 94% African-American, Benton Harbor, Michigan, 90% African-American, East St. Louis, 98% African-American, Gary, Indiana, 85% African-American, Selma, Alabama, there's no Starbucks? Ferguson, Missouri, no Starbucks. I guess they don't want their coffee shop burnt down in Ferguson. Ooh, how could you come to that conclusion? Maybe it's a matter of community taste. Maybe they don't like coffee in those neighborhoods. It's not what you say, Savage. That's too negative. It's because the communities don't like coffee. It's not part of the cultural experience. Only whites predominantly like coffee. And that's why they sell it there. This is stupid. This is, you know, social engineering is idiotic. Stupid. It's kind of engineering that produces nothing but distemper and distaste in the whole country. Where is that guy from Eugene who went over screaming away, whispering to start with, Michael, can you hear me? Who is that guy? Is there a bug house in Eugene, Oregon I don't know about? I know Eugene is a psychopathic left-wing city. That I know. KUG. Eugene, filled with ex-San Franciscans who ran away from here and destroyed Oregon. They left here in the 60s and the 70s in B-1 Volvos. They went north, they destroyed Washington, Oregon, like locusts, with their sick left-wing policies. Once proud states have been reduced to rubble, social rubble, Oregon and Washington. Rubble!
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Let's see, Rubio blasts Obama's call for mandatory voting. It won't surprise me if he enacts it. All right, let's see the ice cream man. Play clip three.
First, I don't put anything past them. I mean, there are a lot of things that have already happened that I never thought I would see. And so this would not surprise me if indeed that's the way they move forward on it. But here's the point he refuses to point out or that he misses. Not voting is also a legitimate choice that some people make. I wish more people would participate in politics too, but that is their choice. That is the choice of living in a free society. And so it would not surprise me if at some point before the end of his presidency he tries to move forward on an agenda like that.
How could he move forward on an agenda like that? He's not a dictator. Throw him in jail if he does that. That's all. Imprison him. Have the sergeant at arms finally say enough is enough. You crossed the line. We're taking you in. Why couldn't they do that? There are historical examples of presidents who've exceeded their authority who were impeached, you know that, and arrested, incidentally. I read that on the air. You don't believe it. You think they're above the law? Who gave this the man the right to do the things he's doing? Does he have the authority to flood America with illegal aliens with the stroke of a pen? Of course not! So Rubio doesn't mention that. That's all. Next case. Move on. There's nothing to see here. So now he's pro-choice when he wants to be, but when it comes to voting, all of a sudden, he wants to make us into North Korea. I know that there are democracies. You're going to tell me that there are democracies that have mandatory voting, such as Australia. I understand that, and you pay a $50 fine if you don't vote. I get it. And there are democracies such as Belgium that require it. I get it. But then there are countries like North Korea which require it. Countries like Egypt which require mandatory voting. Remember the purple dots on their head or whatever? Honduras, they require it. Here's another great example of mandatory voting from Lebanon. Another great country that requires mandatory voting. Nauru in the Pacific. That's a real model for America. Panama requires it. That's how they got Pineapple Head. Paraguay, where the grandnephew of Adolf Hitler reigns. Peru, another example, shining example of Peru. Singapore, another dictatorship. Thailand, Uruguay. All right, so it's a mixed bag. Compulsory voting. Well, go ahead, vote on it. Why doesn't Obama demand that Congress vote on mandatory voting instead of saying he's going to force it down our throats? Go ahead, vote on it. See if you can pass it in Congress now. We know right away that the lockstep dictators will go for it. All the hags on the left, Feinstein, Pelosi. How does that woman retain her position? She flubs the Hillary defense, Pelosi. You're not going to I don't think she knows what a server is. I think she thinks it means a servant. I want you to listen to her talk about Hillary and the server in clip 24 and tell me if you don't believe that Pelosi means servant rather than server. Listen to it.
I think we're going to just see the ongoing attempt to investigate Hillary Clinton, whatever the subject, whether it's her emails or it's her hair or whatever it happens to be. So that's what I'm concerned about as just a politicization of an issue. And if the fact is the speaker says that that her server should be turned over. Well, I think that Hillary Clinton should not be treated any differently than any other Secretary of State.
Now, I think that Pelosi doesn't know what a server is. I think she means servant. And she says if the speaker says that her servant should be turned over, somebody has to stop her and say, Mrs. Speaker, do you know what a server is, or were you referring to a servant? I'd like to hear that Bugs Bunny answer. Now listen to the next one about the servants server issue in 25.
Even if you just said in this century where technology has moved forward and
Wait, what did she just say? Play it again, Sam.
Even if you just said in this century where technology has moved forward and this kind of subject would not come up about a server and about emails, a number of years ago.
She doesn't know tenses.
Communications,
she's like
yes,
an illegal immigrant. Stop it. She can't even create tenses in her speeches. Did this woman not go to Catholic school? Didn't the nuns teach them tenses? Even if you just said in the century where technology has moved forward and this kind of subject would not come up about a server? You mean would not have come up? Would not have come up a number of years ago? The nuns didn't teach you that? I'm going to get to Obama saying it's time for mandatory voting. I wake up and I see that he's asking for mandatory voting, like he discovered it. Now, if I'm not mistaken, North Korea has mandatory voting, doesn't it? But what makes things even more cynical for me is the same day that the dictator-in-chief is giving a little speech on mandatory voting and how wonderful it would be, NPR, PBS, which is an arm of the Democrat machine, the Democrat socialist machine, the same PBS that hates Israel, hates America, hates mother, hates father, hates family, hates church, the same public broadcasting system owned by Obama, lock, stock, and two barrels, just happens to put out an article on mandatory voting and showing us 22 countries where voting is mandatory. The same day that the emerging dictator tells us about it, all of a sudden we read it on the PBS website. Now, it's interesting that they list all the countries where mandatory voting is required, and they leave out North Korea. They don't want you to see that that's an inconvenient truth. So Obama wants mandatory voting, at least that's his dream, because it's the poor, you see. The poor, the immigrants, the minorities who don't vote as often as those of us who work for a living. And, of course, the only way to get 1,000 years of darkness in America is to make sure that those exact groups continue to vote more so than do the biggest contributors to the tax pot, so to speak. So we have the soundbite of Obama giving out this little nonsense about mandatory voting, which is utterly unbelievable to me for two reasons. One, here is a man who does everything he can to make certain that there's no registration for voting, no voter ID. So how are we going to have mandatory voting if there's no voter ID, Mr. Obama? That's question one. Can anyone answer that? How can you have mandatory voting without voter ID? So either you're for or against voter ID. So let's start with voter ID, Mr. Obama, and then we'll go on to discussing your mandatory voting idea. That's number one. But number two, there's another number two. You want to hear the number two? I thought he was for pro-choice when he wants to be. Now, wouldn't it be a choice as to whether you vote or not? I thought Obama was into choice. The guy's a liar and a sicko. He's a demented fool. Unfortunately, he's the most powerful man on earth, and he's very dangerous. And he is demonic and relentless in his desire to destroy freedom in this country. It's the opposite of freedom to require mandatory voting. The opposite of it. So listen to the president of the United States of America now trying to transform us into North Korea in clip one.
In Australia and some other countries, there's mandatory voting. It would be transformative if everybody voted. That would counteract money more than anything.
You liar, you.
If everybody voted, then it would completely change the political map in this country.
He's against money? The man is on the road day and night collecting money from billionaires. Who the heck does this guy think he's fooling? What idiot out there believes this guy doesn't collect zillions of dollars from every special interest group in the world? Now listen to why he really wants mandatory voting. It's to make certain that the illegal aliens control America and bring us down to the level of, let us say, Tijuana. Listen to number two.
The people who tend not to vote are young, they're lower income, they're skewed more heavily towards immigrant groups and minority groups, and, you know, they're often the folks who they're scratching and climbing to get into the middle class, and they're
working hard. Why don't you speak English and stop the folks in climate stuff?
Some folks,
you're an educated man.
The polls. We should want to get them into the polls.
Oh, really?
So that may end up being a better strategy in the short term.
Strategy for what? To destroy America? This is an anti-white strategy in plain English. Write it down. Write it down and send it on to anyone you want. This guy has a vendetta against the white middle class like I have never seen. Like I have never seen. I've never seen a man more demonic in his desire to undermine the majority in this country, the hardworking, the taxpaying. He hates you. He hates you. Chavez was benign compared to what this man would do if he had absolute power. So he floats making voting mandatory, calling it potentially transformative. This is after he tried to manipulate a foreign election in Israel and failed. Oh, yeah. That really got to me, got my goat this morning. Mandatory voting. The guy is chilling. Is he demonic or what? Is this guy out of his mind? Can't this man stop trying to turn us into a garbage can? But I have another idea for transformative politics, and here it is. Let's see how this one would fly. Let's see if we can vote on this one. How about if you're on public assistance, you lose the right to vote? Because it's a given that if you're on public assistance, you're going to vote yourself a raise. And any demagogue who comes along is likely to sway you by saying, well, if you vote for me, I'll give you bigger benefits. So I would say you can argue and rationally at that, that if you're on public assistance, you temporarily lose your right to vote. That serves two purposes. It means the taxpayers determine who gets elected. That's number one, ruling out the demagogues on the left. Number two, it's an incentive for those on the dole to get off the dole. Now you understand why I'm not in politics. And what about mentally ill people? Who's going to determine whether they can vote? You want to go into the mental hospitals and the prisons and give them a mandatory voting card? I guess they might vote Democrat, don't you suspect? I think so. So what he'll next float is a suspension of term limits for the presidency so that you can keep someone who's experienced and good. And, you know, why start all over again? And why waste all that money on that nasty thing called voting? Let's just have no term limits whatsoever and suspend elections altogether. Think of the money that we could save. You know, President Obama, here's what I suggest. Instead of having mandatory voting, why have voting at all? Why not just stay in office until you're a very, very old man? That way we can eliminate any doubt whatsoever about the greatness of the great Obama. You see what I mean? Okay, you get the picture. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from. It is the Savage Nation. As we swing into the last segment of the third hour on the program, I'm going to give you a summary of what a Persian miniature really is in radio. Here are the topics that I've touched on so far. My visit to the dermatologist, my visit to the bar afterwards, Obama on mandatory voting, his anti-white strategy, NPR in bed with Obama, Pelosi on servers, Savage anniversary show, what's coming up Tuesday, Obama's new home in Hawaii, the dangers of cannabis to the brain, the turkey sandwich I ate for lunch, my book on Alzheimer's that I wrote years ago, the First Lady's obscene travels, aluminum damaging the brain, decline of the young male, how to treat hangovers with magnesium, kids taking drugs to learn, Starbucks and race, the clueless new defense secretary who says global warming is more important than defeating ISIS, my book, The Coming Civil War, meaning Stop the Coming Civil War, and regression in education. Those are only the topics that the guys have been able to note down, so there's a lot to talk about, you know. That's all. Now, you already forgot the Israel election, right? You already forgot already the Israel elections that he tried to tamper with, like a third world dictator. And today this just came out. Are you ready for this? President Barry Obama told Israeli PM Ben Netanyahu the U.S. would reassess aspects of its relationship with Israel after Netanyahu's provocative statements leading up to Tuesday's Israel elections. You're going to punish him for hate speech now. You hear? He spoke to him by the phone and he threatened him. We're going to reassess our options following Netanyahu's new positions and comments regarding the two-state solution, according to a White House spokesmouth. So we knew this was coming. There's nothing unexpected about this. Obviously, Obama wants a one-state solution in the Middle East, one Islamic state. That's all. That's his solution for the Middle East. The Jew hiding and one Islamic state. From the Tigris to the Euphrates would be Obama's dream for peace in the Middle East. No churches, no Christians, no Jews, just one Islamic state. Then you'll have peace on earth and goodwill to man. As you well know, Netanyahu was very clear. He said, I don't want a one-state solution. I want a sustainable, peaceful two-state solution. He said, I haven't changed my policy, but the lying presidency twisted that into saying that he's against the Palestinians having a homeland of any kind. All right, look, we can argue over this until kingdom come. No one's going to agree with each other. White House The winner of the Goebbels Prize, White House Press Secretary Josh Earnest, speaking before the call, had stopped short of saying the U.S. reassessment would include whatever. Who cares what he say? I'm not going to take apart what Goebbels says. You know what Obama's going to do. He's going to withhold weapons. He's going to threaten them with trade agreements. You know what's coming. You know, it's walk boldly and carry a big stick with little states like Israel and bow down to the king of Saudi Arabia and kowtow to Islamic State. That's nations. All right, 855-407-2822. I only have time for about one more call. Look at the news that's coming up. It's awful. I'm ashamed to tell you it's gotten worse since I went on the air 3 hours ago. Does this guy never sleep? I had a dream that he went back to golf and the country was okay for a while. He tells us he's not playing as much golf anymore. This is worrisome. Can't he just have musicians in the White House and play golf more, take more vacations in Hawaii? I swear to God, I would vote to give the guy a 53-week vacation in Hawaii, as long as he'd leave his pen in Washington. Can he just stop manipulating the world and the country? Give us a break. Let the earth heal. Let the world's political structure heal. We don't need any more of this. Anyway, you know it's not going to happen. Obama, Hawaii's Hawaii mansion. Through buffers. He bought it through a lawyer in Chicago who transferred it to an LLC in Denver. That's your transformational president for you. Sales shrouded in mystery. Oh, he's an open president. He doesn't want millionaires and billionaires controlling the government. That's who he flies to. No, he flies to homeless people around the country. He breaks bread with homeless people. All right, you get the picture. That's the side of the aisle I'm on. Be here or be nowhere. I'm here every day for 3 hours. The name is Michael Savage.
Savage.